Welcome to the Pam Carey Show, where we explore a new idea every week. Hello, hello. Today we are going to be discussing The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. So The Artist's Way is a 12-week course. It is meant for people that feel as though they want to be more creative, but something is stopping them. Maybe people in their life that don't believe in them. Maybe they don't believe in themselves. Maybe they feel it's finances or time, whatever it is, what's blocking them. Or often it's these limiting beliefs. It's these blocks that we put on ourselves that don't allow us to do a lot of the things that we really want to do creatively and otherwise. But this book is specifically about creativity. We will be discussing who this course is for, what it is, how it can benefit you, some advice if you're going to embark on the path, all of those things, because I have just finished this 12-week course. I'll just go ahead and start right out and say it, that this 12-week course meant to be about 3 months, took me 5 months. It is very time consuming, and I actually haven't met anyone that has finished it. I will be on the train in New York City with my very well-worn copy that if you're watching the video version, you can see it's kind of ripping up at the sides. And people will come up to me seeing me read it because New York, there's a lot of artists. And it really does spark some wonderful conversations because it is a creativity course that really delves deep into our consciousness, our spirituality, what it means to be a person in the world and live creatively, which, by the way, I think applies to everyone, not just people that identify as artists, because we all can live a little bit more creatively. Living more creatively can mean just making a new kind of soup or lighting a candle and dancing to your favorite music in the living room. It can mean helping your child with an art project and realizing that it's actually a bit more fun than you remembered it being. It can be all sorts of things. But anyway, back to my story there. I'll be on the train and people will come up to me and say, oh, you're doing The Artist's Way. Oh, neat. You know, I love that book, right? I started that. And they'll say, oh, neat. Yeah, so you did it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't finish it, though. I got to about week three. That is because it is extremely time consuming. And I'm going to give some tips as we get into this later on about how to make it workable, because I'm not tooting my own horn when I say I've never met someone that has finished it. I've met a lot of people that have started it. And Julia is amazing. I think that she's a creative genius and just beautiful spiritual guide for others embarking on a process. But I think she's a little bit unrealistic about how much time a lot of us have. It takes about 10 to 15 hours a week, or at least the way she spells it out. I think she says at least 10. And a lot of people don't have 10 to 15 free hours a week. So I'll give some advice later on, because, for instance, that's one reason why it did take me 5 months to finish. I just was, you know, determined that even if it took longer, I would get through it. But this was my third time starting it. Now, she defines it as a spiritual path to higher creativity. So there is a spiritual component, but you do not need to believe in God in the traditional sense, really in any sense, to do this course and to do the activities in it. And in fact, she really approaches that quite a bit early on, because she understands that a lot of people hear the word spirituality and a whole wall might just come up and then they're not willing to engage in the material. So I would say don't let that be a blockade to you. And it is spiritual, though, because creativity touches the transcendence. It puts us in awe and wonder and mystery and magic. And creativity is something that we really can't understand in the way that we would understand logic or rationality or all of these things when we tried to reduce and deduce and break something down. Creativity is expansive. It is ever growing. It is flowing out of us at all of these moments. And how do we tap into it? That's really what the course is about. Okay, so you may have heard about this course. A lot of people have talked about it. For instance, just on the back, there's endorsements from Martin Scorsese, Anne Lamott, Elizabeth Gilbert. I know Jenna Fisher did it before she was on The Office. It's also something that has stood the test of recent time. I have the 25th anniversary edition, but there's currently the 30th anniversary edition out now that's even been out, I think, for a bit. So it is something that, for instance, when I was at the coffee shop just last week, finished mashing it up, someone was like, oh, I remember that from a long time ago. You know, I remember people doing that and now it's come back in. So it's something that just seems to resonate with people. Now, the reason why I say it's meant for everyone is a lot of the activities in this course are about, for instance, let's go back to a limiting belief and finances, like we were talking about earlier. A lot of us have certain beliefs about money that we got from either our parents or society or just messaging and culture or things that we've just picked up, like, I believe money is blank. What is that blank for you? Is it evil? Is it hard to come by? It makes people greedy. Like, what are your beliefs about money, for instance? That's something that applies to everyone, not just someone that wants to be creative. You could have a block about money, even if you're not trying to be an artist. Or for instance, another chapter talks about competition and jealousy or fearing that there isn't enough time for you to do what you want to do in the world or how fame changes people or all of these things that don't just apply to creatives. They could apply to so many different types of people. So this video podcast is for people that maybe want to do the artist way and are curious about it. They've just heard about it somewhere. People that have heard about it and are not planning to do it, but they're just curious. Oh, what does someone get out of this? What did you learn? What did you get out of it? I'm curious because I've heard about it. Or someone that has started it and they're hitting some roadblocks. They want to hear from someone that has finished, or someone else that has finished the course and wants to hear about someone else's experience. So this video podcast is really for anyone on that path. I just want to share what I got out of the course after finishing it because I finished it today. And part of the reason I wanted to talk about this here is because a lot of what's in the book is the same stuff that we talk about here on this podcast. It's about living and not waiting and doing what enlivens your spirit. It's about cleaning out the closet of stuff that doesn't fit you, stopping to look at the sunset that puts you in a state of awe that normally you would just walk past. It's about making that warm recipe that you've always had your eye on but never made for a cold evening. It's about lighting the candle and putting on your favorite music and dancing in the living room. It's about getting out your old saxophone or paintbrushes or half-written manuscript, dusting them off and giving them a go again simply for the joy of it. So boundaries that serve you better with people that have not respected you, wearing that outfit that you love but never wear just to go to the coffee shop or for an errand. It's about getting dried mango because you love it and you never let yourself get it, and signing up for scuba classes or reading the fiction book from the library just for fun that's out of the genre that you'd normally read. It's about keeping some dreams to yourself until they're more fully formed so you protect your artist core. And it's about journaling. So much journaling. Where you might have heard about the artist way is through one of the two tools that are persistent through the whole course. I guess I should tell you exactly what the course entails. I can't believe we haven't gotten to that yet. So it's 12 weeks. There's a week for each chapter. And during that, you're going to read the material. You're going to do activities that come up during the chapter, and then also some tasks that come up at the end of the chapter. So there's a lot of homework. So for instance, one bit of homework might be think about someone that supported your dreams that always was a champion for them. In fact, why don't I actually open this up? Because she is going to say it way better than me. Oh my gosh, I opened to the page that I really wanted. I wanted to find this activity. Oh, that's so cool. Okay, time travel. List three old champions of your creative self-worth. This is your hall of champions. Those who wish you and your creativity well. Be specific. Every encouraging word counts. Even if you disbelieve a compliment, record it. It may well be true. And she goes on there, like just writing down, like, who are the people that believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself? And how specific can you be in trying to recapture what they said and how they felt and something you can revisit later? But that's one of just dozens and dozens and dozens of activities and tasks in this course. So it's a very active course. You are participating in it. You are not passively reading a book. And that's partly why it takes so long to do and why it takes so much commitment. Now, there's two other things that are persistent through the rest of the book that you might have heard about. One is morning pages. So morning pages are, she says, three pages written out longhand every morning. That takes a lot of time, especially because I write with small handwriting and my notebook is college ruled. It's just a large notebook. So that would take probably 45 minutes to an hour to do. I write one page and it's about half of what she wants, because she wants it to be about 750 words. That, or some other people have just like measured how long generally 3 pages longhand is. 1 page longhand in this notebook is about 350 words. Because it's every morning, I knew I would be a lot more consistent with it if I did something that took about 20 minutes rather than about an hour. That's what enabled me to finish the course, was by being a little bit more lenient in terms of what she wanted. The other bit of homework that's persistent through the rest of the course is an artist date. That is a date you do by yourself every week to just feed your artist soul. I'll give an example of one. One of mine was having a cup of decaf coffee and going to the library and spending 45 minutes just perusing the shelves, looking through the fiction section. Often I usually have been reading nonfiction, and just finding books that I'd never heard of, but looked interesting, and then sitting down with a big pile and reading their descriptions and a little bit of the first chapter and seeing which ones I wanted to take home. And I found a book that I really loved that I'd never heard of. Wasn't, you know, a New York Times bestseller. I didn't hear it recommended by some friend. It was just something that caught my eye, and it brought me so much joy, both because it was outside the genre that I usually read, and it was just this hidden treasure that I allowed myself to find and participate in. And reading it before bed every night, I'm a slow reader, so for many weeks was a nice treat that just lit up my day. It just made my day better for weeks and weeks to come. And that's what a lot of this course is about. Is, for instance, I've never done archery and I've always been curious about it. And for my last artist date in a couple days, I'm going to go do archery. It's something that I always said, oh, I don't have time for that, or that costs, you know, quite a bit of money. It just felt kind of selfish to just do these little things just for yourself. But she really goes on to say that they don't need to be big. They don't need to be expensive. They don't need to be time consuming. It can be as simple as, you know, you're going to spend 30 minutes, like I was mentioning earlier, going through your closet and get rid of the stuff that doesn't fit you and go donate it somewhere. And how much better do you feel after that? It was a little thing for you that you're going to feel better after. And that's why I also believe that this applies to so many people besides just artists. However, the reason why it applies to artists is when we are not, as she talks about, filling the well, which is giving ourselves new material, new insights, new sensations. For instance, being an artist is a very sensory experience. As an actor, for instance, one of the tips that I loved from one of my old teachers is really tapping into, in fact, I'm not a very sensory person, so I don't really use this advice that much, but I like it. But like, for instance, if you are meant to be really sad during a certain scene, is there something that you remember when you were going through something sad, like the scratchiness of the jacket you happen to be wearing, or the smell of the fire in the backyard, or all of these things that are sensory experiences to sink us into that real lived experience as an actor? But if you're a visual artist, for instance, does walking down the street in New York City and seeing the graffiti and the wall art, how does that fill you with new ideas for images and connections that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise? And I think a lot of this course has just really taught me to open my eyes to things. Okay, I could go on and on about all of the benefits, but I realize I should get into a little bit of practical advice, and I'll close out with what I truly got from the course and why I'm glad that I did it, and hopefully reasons why you might choose to do it too. But I'll get into some advice first. So firstly, do it in a season of life where you have a little bit more time. If you are extremely busy, if you are already doing a big creative project and your plate is full, probably not the right time for it, because like I said, it is pretty time consuming. Also, don't be afraid to adapt things as necessary. She says that the artist date has to be by yourself. But for instance, my partner and I went to the Met a few weeks ago. That was my artist date that week. But what I did was just took a little bit of time by myself, walking through the Met, taking things in, instead of being with him 100% of the time. So yes, an artist date was supposed to be by myself. Yes, I went to the Met with my partner, but I made sure that there was still some sort of an experience of taking things in on my own. And I still think that it benefited me as an artist to be there with someone else. I did do probably 95% of my artist dates by myself. I ended up doing more artist dates than the 12 just because it took me so long to get through it, but I was pretty liberal with what that meant. Another example of one that I did in a group was I love playing sports. I haven't in a long time, so I organized a group of coworkers to go out and play pickleball. And yes, that was a group, but it did just kind of light something up inside of me. Another thing that I did that made it a little bit more workable for me was occasionally on a very busy week, I would use my morning pages time to do some of the activities. So the journaling was some of the tasks. Like if she says, oh, write 10 things that you've always wanted to do and you've never let yourself do, I would do that and then maybe journal about my thoughts on that. So it was like just blending some of the morning pages time with activities and task time. But most of the time, the journaling was just truly journaling and morning pages. Now, I didn't mention this earlier, but my favorite part about the morning pages is that they're not meant to be anything artistic or insightful. It is writing things like, I have to do the laundry again. This is so annoying. I can't believe that that person said that to me yesterday. How dare them? I'm really tired. I feel like crap. I had too much coffee yesterday. Ugh. A long work day today and I'm already tired. Like it's blah, 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 blah. All that stuff that you have in your mind that you just need to get out so that it's not in your way as both an artist and as a person. And it feels very freeing. It's to the point where I actually don't really feel ready in the morning. I don't really feel, you know, kind of like if you didn't brush your teeth yet that morning, you just don't feel completely ready for the day. Now I'm at the point after all these weeks and weeks of doing this where if I don't do my morning pages, I don't feel ready for the day. What I actually learned is that the 10 to 15 hours a week that you're pouring into the course, it doesn't really finish when you're done because she still wants you to do the morning pages. She still wants you to do the artist dates, but they're just a part of your routine at this point. And they don't take 10 to 15 hours a week. They take probably closer to like 5 hours a week at that point. It's just things you're doing to stay sharp as an artist. But the other time that you have, like, let's say the extra 10 hours free you have, you've actually started to carve out time for yourself and your art. So if let's say that you're a musician that hasn't been creating or writing songs in a while, maybe now with those extra 10 free hours that you've carved out over weeks and weeks, you can use that to work on your art. She's actually just teaching you how to create time for yourself where you felt like there wasn't any. I do think it is about being somewhat strict with ourselves. I know I keep saying like, oh, find all these ways to make it workable for you. But it is very tempting to say that we don't have time for any of this stuff. And honestly, the artist dates were way harder for me in the beginning than the morning pages were because the morning pages kind of felt like work. Oh, I can make myself work more. Yeah. Well, speaking of which, a lot of this stuff gets into workaholism, perfectionism, all these other things that we sometimes think are good things, we think are wonderful attributes, but can really trip us up creatively and otherwise in our lives. You know, kind of like wearing busyness as a virtue. Now, thinking, oh, I don't have 20 minutes to do something fun or nice for myself. I don't have that. It's like, really? You're working 16 hours a day. You don't have 20 minutes to do one tiny thing for yourself. Kind of reminds me of that quote that people that say they don't have 10 minutes a day to meditate are the people that need it. It's about the balance. In some ways, finding ways to make it workable for you, but in some ways, being really honest with yourself about just making the time to do it. Because she does say, so a lot of people quit because they're too busy. But she also says a lot of people quit because it's kicking up a lot of stuff in us subconsciously that we maybe don't want to get through. We're getting through the creative blocks and then we get afraid or we are like, whoa, I don't feel like touching that subconscious belief or things like that. Like it's emotionally and spiritually and mentally hard. However, I really think it's more the time consuming bit because every time I've quit, like it really just felt like, Julia, I do not have 10 to 15 hours a week to do this stuff. I'll come back to you later. But I think it's good to be aware of both reasons why people might quit or stop partway through. Like I was saying, if it takes you a couple weeks to get through a 1 week in the course, fine, just keep going. Now, can you do this without the course, without the artist way? Absolutely. It's just a framework to follow. It's just a coach, a guide. For instance, it's a lot easier, I think, to make breakthrough mental blocks with a therapist or physical blocks with a personal trainer. And this is a spiritual and creative guide on your journey with proven practices that have worked for a lot of people. But of course, you don't need to. I just think it is a really good framework to follow if you feel blocked creatively. You know, it is something that I'm probably going to return to for years and years and years. In the front, there's all of these notes and pages that I would like to return to with good things. Let me just see if there's one that I can read for you. Jealousy is always a mask for fear. Fear that we aren't able to get what we want. Frustration that somebody else seems to be getting what is rightfully ours, even if we are too frightened to reach for it. And then later she says, but jealousy produces tunnel vision. It narrows our ability to see things in perspective. It strips us of our ability to see other options. The biggest lie that jealousy tells us is that we have no choice but to be jealous. Perversely, jealousy strips us of our will to act when action holds the key to our freedom. Whew, it's so true. If you've ever felt, for instance, jealous of other people doing what you want to do creatively, a little bit of you feels stuck because it's like, oh, they've already done it. I can't do it now. Well, that is such a lie. No matter what art that you're doing, are there multiple artists doing that? Even some that are slightly similar to each other, if you found someone doing something similar to what you want to do? Absolutely. They're proof that it's possible. They're a role model. They're a partner, a sister, a brother on the path. But when we do feel jealous, a little part of it feels stuck because we're just like in our anger, in our fear, in our, oh, there's not enough to go around and we're stuck here. And then that stuckness keeps us from moving. And that movement is what would liberate us from these negative feelings and help us realize that, oh my goodness, I can do it too. Just these insights she has too of things that maybe you even knew deep down, but the way she says it is really helpful. Okay, so what did I get out of this? Well, I started a podcast, something that I'd wanted to do for such a long time. I've had the YouTube channel for a while and I've wanted to have a podcast version. So here we are. If you are listening to that, you are listening to a product of having finished this course. I also started auditioning again as an actor. But more importantly than that, the way I approach these things is different. Even right now, I'm hoping to have a little bit of fun with you. I'm hoping to see, like, what can I even learn about this and my experience through talking to you that I didn't realize before? With the audition of mine coming up in a couple weeks, how can I play with those other actors? Like, what kind of chemistry will come up in that chemistry read? Who knows? Some of them, it could be great. Some of them, sparks will fly. Some of them, it could be a dud. But whatever, I'm going to go to Pennsylvania on a little adventure and see what happens. And it will hopefully be a blast because I get to act that day. It's not just, oh, you're auditioning again. Oh, you launched this venture. But what I'm even more happy about is how I'm approaching them. And I hope that you are able to find that too. If you pick up the course, do it. Even if you don't do all of it, I believe that you can benefit from it. Ooh, glad I remembered this. I almost forgot. I actually found chapters 8 through 12 a bit more helpful. Now, that could be because, like I said, I started the course multiple times and usually quit around week 5 or 6. 4, 5, or 6. I think that's usually where people get stuck. So maybe by the third time I was doing it, after a couple years, I was just like, yes, I know these things. Versus as I went further into the course, there were other topics. However, I do think there's a couple chapters that could be a little bit repetitive. For instance, a lot of our blocks around money are similar to a lot of our blocks around time, but not necessarily. So it is worth going through all of it. But I would just say that if a certain chapter isn't as interesting or helpful to you, keep going. Because for instance, chapter 9 could be, whoa, that's the chapter that really gave you the biggest breakthrough. Okay, last two things. Another thing I got out of this course is the ability to do nice things for myself. For instance, in the past, one of my roommates would bring nice flowers home. And a part of me would think, ugh, what a waste of money, you know, because I think sometimes we'd all like chip in for them. But now I just think, oh, what a beautiful bright spot in my living room. How lovely is that? So it just kind of opened me up to a lot of life more. I think we all have times where we just feel tapped in and present and grateful, but this expanded my ability to do so and to be kind to myself to allow more of that. And lastly, it just reinvigorated my sense of wonder and magic and peace and hope and the ability to question things that should be questioned and or to have more confidence in the things I could be more resolute in. As you can see, this beat up copy that I've been carrying around for over 10 years, started 3 times, finally finished. It has changed my life. I haven't said that out loud because I did just finish it, but it has. And I believe it can change yours too. And take what you want from it, leave the rest. I think that that is a skill in our modern world, is to not disagree with one or two things that someone says and then write off everything else about them. She's hard on people. She can expect a lot of your time. Some of the references are a bit outdated, like the week where she tells you to stop reading so that you can have more original thoughts. I think it's more about cutting out technology. So have nuance and discernment as you go through it. But I do think that it can really help you too, whether you identify as an artist or not, and take what you want from it, do your best, and let me know how it goes. I would love to connect with you and hear about it, whether you message me on my website or you respond in the comments, or yeah, those are really the two ways to get in touch. And who knows, maybe we'll do like a follow-up version later if a bunch of people send in what they got out of it. I could share those. It would be nice to get a voicemail box for the podcast. I should maybe consider that so that I can play voicemails on the show, whether people have thoughts or questions or insights of things that maybe I missed that they wanted to share, or just their story. Thank you for listening and being here as always. If you enjoyed this, consider sharing it with a friend or leaving a review on your favorite podcast app or website. I will speak with you in a week, and I hope you have a beautiful week ahead.